When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of The Awakened Soul Podcast. It's your host, CEO Hayes, in the building. If you're a first-time listener, make sure you go and follow the podcast at The Awakened Soul Pod or at Awakened Soul Pod, just depending on what platform you're looking for us on. You can also follow me at CEO Hayes. And on this week's episode of the podcast, the discussion topic this week is Comic-Con 2019. I have a special guest. Her name is Tommy. We're going to be discussing everything coming out of the Marvel panel, as well as some other things around Comic-Con. But the main chunk is about the Marvel announcements, because as anyone who's been listening to this long enough knows, I'm a huge Marvel fan, a fan of the movies, the universe, everything in it. Expect me and Andrew Bella to probably talk about it too if I can get them on. I know we're both kind of busy, but nonetheless, so we have that. And then during the End of Mine and Hayes segment, we have a discussion based around Black Trump supporters and how some of his recent comments have kind of woken some of them up, so to say. So we'll be discussing that in the End of Mine and Hayes segment, but for the largest part, we'll just be discussing Comic-Con 2019. So it's a really geeky episode for all of my listeners. But I do want to say and make sure that everyone is aware that this coming up Saturday, so July 27th, we will be in Atlanta for the Love, Lust, and Badass Soul live show, our second live show. It's going to be really exciting. I can't wait to just bring that show to you guys. And just me and AJ's energy when we're in the room is amazing. So we got a lot of things going on. Also, the team announced their second live show, so go and check them out to make sure you get all the latest details on that. This podcast is a part of the Berks Media, which is the premier Black-owned media company in the world, so we are just working out here. So without that, nothing left to say, no further housekeeping. We're going to go ahead and let AJ take this one away, and I'll see you guys right after.
The following is a Berks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy.
I think that this go back comment hit a lot of us that support him. It hit a lot of us in the gut, I think. And I think that a lot of us of color, conservatives who support the president, I talked to a lot of my friends and we're still trying to process. It just came out of left field. And this is probably one of the most controversial comments that ever came out of the White House. And so, I don't know, I'm still processing it myself. And I think that the president is putting a lot of us in a very precarious situation, people that would have supported him. I think the president has a base, and he has a far right-wing base. And there's a lot of white nationalists, a lot of racists, a lot of anti-Semites in that base. And I feel as though the president has said, okay, well, I had a small margin of African-Americans, small margin of Latinos, small margin of LGBT. So what I'm going to do is I am going to have a PR strategy that is that's going to PR strategy that is going to rile up the base. And so I feel like a lot of us feel like, wow, like where do we fit in, you know, anymore? Are we still welcome in this movement? Are people of color still welcome? So a lot of us are still reeling from that comment. And I will tell you, a lot of my friends that are black conservatives, a lot of them have jumped off the Trump train. They've gone over to Kamala Harris's side. They've got involved in her campaign and also Joe Biden's, certainly here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The president, there's a lot of people that believed in him. And I think that the president's got to understand that, you know, when he attacks Colin Kaepernick, when he attacks LeBron James, Steph Curry, you're attacking the very people that the people that you say that you're trying to reach look up to as role models. And so I think that it's up to the president. Do you really want to have an inclusive campaign? Do you want to have an inclusive run? Do you want to have an inclusive administration, or don't you?
Okay, so what you heard there was a African-American Trump supporter, as he said, a conservative, who after Trump's comments of go back, question where do they fit in this movement. And my question to that is, where did you ever fit in Trump's movement? Trump's whole base has always been that elite group of people, of Americans, and in that higher class. And I have said many times on here before what I feel and what I view as Trump's base being. And my thing is that I wonder, where has that young man kind of been looking at to ask if the president wants to have an inclusive campaign? Where has he ever had an inclusive campaign or a base or anything like that? And I think that, I don't know what it's been. And again, as you guys know, I've had several political discussions on this podcast. My thing is that, What did you expect? I guess maybe that's just me. This is exactly how I expected Trump to come out against what, quote unquote, the good squad. And I think that are we paying attention? And it's funny, as he attacks and makes comments like this against the good squad, I believe his approval rating is at a record high right now. So let that just sink in. With all these attacks, these racist comments, his approval rating is the highest that it's been. So where does that sit in your brain at? Because it's troublesome to have something that is complete attacking. And this has been one of those things that have always been with Trump supporters, the attacks on Twitter, the mob-like mentality, the ganging up, the attacks, and then the, oh, well, I'm just, then they throw their hands up when it's pointed and, oh, well, this is what I'm just doing. The thing is that while his attacks, it seems like it, of course, it's rallying his base because this is what they want to see from the president. It is also uniting Democrats, and you know, some Republicans are kind of getting touchy about this as well. And this has always been my issue, is that the overt racist comments that come out, the attacks on Twitter by the president, and then my question is now, is that as this keeps going forward, what's going to be the response? The Democratic Party right now seems to be so split, and you know, is this, like I just said, this is going to rally some of them together, hopefully to make different decisions, to get some of that bullshit out that they've even been dealing with. But where has, and I would love to have a conversation with an African-American Trump supporter to kind of see what in Trump's, you know, in the lead up to him becoming president, in the lead up to this next campaign and this next election, where do you feel like you fit in at? Because maybe it's something that I'm missing. But when I hear things like this, and I hear the shock and the awe over the go back statements, like this is what I expected. When Trump was elected in 2016, he only got 8% of the black male vote, I believe. And I would like to see like what it's going to be after this election, whether win, lose or whatever. But I don't know. And when you go through all of the polls and everything right now, yeah, his approval rating is the highest that it is. Even in Democratic states, he's not being beat by that much. So it's like, what's going on here? We'll see if this ends up paying off for him in the long run, because yes, he does have a base that he panders to, as most politicians do. I do want to make that clear. Most politicians, of course, pander to their base. But with this divisive type campaign, does this work the same way that it did in 2016? How are they going to respond after being now in this country with Trump being the president for almost 4 years? This is all like the leading up to this. And as Trump kind of goes all the way into his attacks, it's going to be interesting to see. And I saw that video. I immediately wanted to play it because you guys know I love the conversation starters here. I want to have this conversation with you guys. Like I said, any Black Trump supporters who are out there who want to chime in on this, this is honestly, and this isn't even to attack, this isn't to argue. I would love to have that conversation and to see where do you guys think that you fit in in Trump's base. I'm really interested by that. Like everything that young man said in that video, I'm just sitting here like, well, why is this a shock to you? And when you hear that him talking to other conservatives and they're going over to other people's campaigns to help there, what does that now do going in and leading into this next election? I know. The rest of this episode is going to be quite geeky, but I really wanted to have that conversation, and I wanted to talk about it because I want to get that started. I would love to hear you guys' take on it. You guys already know where you can send that at. You can email it, theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, at me. I'd love to have this conversation, but we're going to go ahead, and we're now going to get into what you guys came for. Because I know you guys come for the deeper content. But we're going to have some fun. We're going to be talking about Comic-Con. So we're going to take a brief break and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Technical File, the sports podcast you never knew you needed.
It's your boy, T-I-M-K-I-N-Z, the number 3, a.k.a. Go-Go Power Ranger. Yeah, this is the Black Ranger. It's me, a.k.a. Mr. Give It To Me. It's Ash Ketchum in his bed.
I am the Eric J.
Only known as
the Eric J.
And I'm Camille, point guard of the crew, the real-life Tifa Lockhart, the girl next door, you know, holding it down for all the women who love sports.
And it's your boy, K Harris, the gentleman.
The gentleman.
Also known as K Diddy.
Take that.
But better known as the people's
jabroni.
And that's us. I mean, we four friends come together every week to talk about the biggest stories in sports with our own flair to it. Let me tell you. You ain't never heard a sports podcast that's entertaining before.
Damn straight.
So check us out every Wednesday. Get at us.
Now, I could spend 90 minutes talking about what we've done. Or I could spend some time talking about what we're about to do. Phase 4 of the MCU. The Eternals. Something entirely new, entirely different for the MCU, a group of immortals who've been on Earth for 35,000 years. They've been there amongst the MCU. We haven't met them before. This film is full Jack Kirby. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming to Disney's new streaming platform, Disney Plus. WandaVision, another mega event series we're doing on Disney Plus. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But I want to leave you today with one more thing that I don't think has been rumored about. Ladies and gentlemen, 2-time Academy Award winner, Mahershala Ali. Mahershala, it looks like you brought your own hat, Mahershala. You did? What is that? Thank you, Hall H. We'll see you next time. Love you. Thank you.
Okay, so I definitely wanted to talk Comic-Con. Anyone who's a big nerd, nowadays Comic-Con isn't just for nerds because there's so much different things that are announced there. But I did have to bring someone on who is just as into this stuff, if not more so than I am. You've heard her voice before when we talked. Ooh, that was Captain Marvel, right? You reviewed Captain Marvel together? And that is the lovely Miss Tommy's back in the building. What's going on?
Hey. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. We got a lot of exciting things to get to. Most of it Marvel, but I wanted to kind of stay off the expected path because everyone expects me to talk Marvel. What was the biggest news out of Comic-Con, not Marvel related, that has you excited?
Not Marvel related? Yeah. Well, I was excited for the Witcher. They did a full trailer for that one.
That looks great.
And that I'm really excited for. Okay. So that was big for me. That's on Netflix. So I've been waiting on that one to come out. What else? I mean, you know, I'm all about Marvel, so I really wasn't paying too much attention to anything non-Marvel. I did enjoy, I got a little bit of the Game of Thrones panel, which I'm a big Game of Thrones fan as well. And because I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, many of us were quite upset with that last season. So there was a lot of questions asked in that panel that didn't really satisfy us, but at least we got some answers. So that was something I was into as well. But, you know, me, I'm all about Marvel, so...
I got to ask you about it because it is such a hot button topic for so many people. Like the Game of Thrones finale, what was most disappointing to you about that? Why did you not feel like it was fulfilling as a fan?
Well, number one, it was rushed because the writers were really concerned with leaving this alone and going to go work on the Spider-Man movies, which also I'm a Marvel fan. So, of course, Spider-Man is my jam, but. Felt like you guys didn't need to sacrifice Game of Thrones to go and do that. And then they really just kind of forgot all of the storylines and character plots that they've built up over the last seven seasons. They just kind of just threw it to the wayside. It made no sense the way it ended for a lot of characters. And the biggest disappointment for, I think, almost everybody was the death of Cersei. You know, she was the big villain of the whole series. And for her to go out by some fallen rocks, that was a bunch of people.
That was some and the thing too, that's what disappointed me the most too. Like some of it, it's like, all right, look, I get that my expectations and what the writers did were going to be very different. Like it was never going to live up to my expectations, but I realized that going in. But you didn't even, like, pay certain characters respect. Like, Cersei, as well as they built her up to getting her to the point of being this huge villain that we all hated, to have her just go out by some rocks was terrible. Like, we needed to see somebody stab her. We needed to see that happen.
She deserved a much better death than that. Yeah. That was just a bunch of crap. And for her to go out crying and whining, that was just not Cersei. We know. She would have went out, you know, strong-willed to the end, and that was just a crap. So that really pissed me off.
Exactly. If anything, she would have went out like still talking shit on her way down. Like
exactly.
I can't wait till the books release to see how different it plays out in the book than the TV show.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting on. I mean, the books are they've already taken some leeway with what was in the books versus what was in the show, but not so bad that, you know, you bull about it. But I'm really hoping that George puts out something that's way better than this crap, because they just totally wasted the previous seven seasons with this last one. So yeah,
it's bad. And then they got the prequel coming out. It's like, look, y'all didn't even get the end right. Like, I don't want to hear nothing about no prequel. But you mentioned The Witcher too. So, like, The Witcher, are you a Witcher video game player? Or are you a fan of the books?
Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of The Witcher prior to the buzz that started coming for the Netflix movie. So I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Then I found out, you know, it was a game. I think it was a book too.
Yeah,
I think it was
a series of books first before even the game.
So yeah, I'm not much of a gamer, but I'm a reader, so I'll probably go out and get the books and get up on that before the movie actually comes out.
Okay. Now, the last thing, it's Marvel related, not MCU related though. Are you going to be playing the Avengers game when it comes out?
I am playing the Avengers game. Okay. do anything, I'm gonna be playing the Avengers game.
And I know there's been like some backlash over the character design, which I understand, especially, you know, coming off how great they look in the movies, they could have just copied those designs. But since the gameplay leaked, that gameplay looks awesome. I gotta play the game. Like, it looks amazing. I don't see how, like, as a fan of Marvel, you can really head on that gameplay. So I'm gonna be all in there day one. I already got it pre-ordered and everything. So
yeah, like I said, I'm not much of a gamer, but when there's something that comes out that piques my interest, I'm gonna join in for a little while at least. So same thing happened with like the new Mortal Kombat. I'm like, okay, I gotta get in there because that's my classic jam, so I need to see what it's all about. Exactly. Once I learn all the qualities and whatnot, then I'm good. I'm like, okay, enjoyable. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna be playing the Avengers.
Yeah, gotta play that. But let's get to what we came in here for. So for the first time in a while, we didn't quite know what was coming next. We've always kind of known what's on the horizon. After Spider-Man Far From Home came out, we didn't know what to expect. You know, of course, we got some leaks about Black Widow and everything, but that all came to a screeching halt as Phase 4 was announced at Comic-Con this weekend. I don't even know where to start. Let's just start with the slate itself. Anything, what in this slate stands out to you the most? Which one are you most excited for?
I think I'm most excited for right now is Blade. I'm definitely excited about Blade. Yeah. Now, I love some Mahershala Ali. Everything I've seen him in, he's killed it. Even when he just had little small roles, he's killed it. So I'm excited to see what he's going to bring to Blade. I've never seen him do any hand-to-hand combat, especially any martial art.
Exactly.
So we shall see what he can deliver on that end, but I don't think we're going to be upset at all. So I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, acting-wise, I have no problem with it. Like I said, I've never seen him in any action film. If anyone who's listening to this knows of some smaller film he's done with some action that I haven't seen, please let me know so I can go check it out. But he definitely has the look. He has the acting ability. You know, we trust Marvel for what they do and the respect that they give these characters. But the reason why this one stands out to me is because if they would have announced something with Blade, I would have thought it would have been like on Disney Plus or Hulu. Because, you know, they have the Ghost Rider series coming to Hulu. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe if they do Blade, it'll be on that. So for them to announce a movie with him as the character, it just caught me so off guard in a great way. So I'm really excited for this.
Right. That's the same line of thinking that I was thinking, that I thought they were going to do maybe just a show or something like they're doing with Loki and Hawkeye and Falcon and Bucky. So I'm like, okay, maybe they'll just do a show. But I'm glad it's going to be a movie. And knowing Marvel, is probably going to be a series of movies. So I am excited for that. I'm also really excited for the new Doctor Strange because it's going to be a little more of a horror take. So yeah.
With Scarlet Witch being a prominent character in there, which makes sense. And that's one thing that Marvel's doing so well is that they've built out this world with so many different characters, and it's impossible to have every character have their own movie. So they have them pop up, and every time a character pops up in another person's movie, it makes sense. And Scarlet Witch being in this with Doctor Strange just makes a lot of sense. And I can't wait to see the story they told. And they said that it was going to directly pick up from what happens in WandaVision, which is a show that's going to be on Disney Plus. So it's just, yeah, I can't wait to see how this all unfolds.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. You mentioned that how good Marvel is about kind of segueing their characters in and out. That brings me to, you know, Kevin Feige said that he couldn't mention a whole lot about other movies like Black Panther 2 and that they're going to be doing Fantastic Four and X-Men. I think Black Panther 2 is probably going to be where they introduce the Fantastic Four and Namor, because he was supposed to be in there the first time around, but he wasn't in there. But, you know, Black Panther started in Fantastic Four. Yeah. So kind of a good way to segue them into that. So I'm excited to see who they do the casting for that. I'm ready for a really good, appropriately done Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that too. Like, because when it was a little bit after that Marvel officially bought Disney, and maybe this was just a conversation we had off of recording. But like, I always thought Fantastic Four would be the first one that's introduced because it just makes sense, and it's also been the furthest one from having a movie. And there's a lot of different ways they can go about introducing. They can really introduce them in almost any other Marvel film, but there's some, like you said, in introducing them in Black Panther would be perfect. Like, the way that I kind of the my fan brain works is that Namor is the villain in Black Panther 2, right? T'Challa does some research. He needs to find someone who has information on the Atlanteans, and that's where Mr. Fantastic comes in there. So we don't see all of them. We just get Mr. Fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, and then, then it segues into its own movie. It's just, yeah.
So you almost be on the same wavelength right here. That's exactly what I've been thinking. So.
And one thing that I wanted to say with them casting who they casted as Blade, it really kind of the whole Netflix Marvel universe, like the fact that he was Cottonmouth in there and they're recasting him. I really think that they're gonna completely ignore. I still wouldn't mind seeing like Charlie Cox casted as Daredevil again when they're ready, because he was a great Daredevil. But it just really kind of highlights how that Netflix Marvel universe is, for all intents and purposes, is dead. And I don't think we're ever gonna see any threads picked up in that for real. Because I think that now that they have Disney Plus, these shows are really going to be intertwined in the. I think there's not really going to be any separation. I'm expecting like Falcon and the Winter Soldier to really be like a bunch of mini movies that are directly MCU related more than just a TV show.
Yeah, I mean they've already kind of hinted at that with the whole WandaVision leading into Doctor Strange. So you're gonna have to watch these shows. You just have to get the full sense of the Marvel Universe. It's not going to be just the movies. You got to watch these shows as well. WandaVision, Loki show, Hawkeye's getting his own show as well, which I'm sure is probably going to have some segue in or out from the Black Widow movie. So I'm excited. I'm just ready for everything. Disney Plus, hurry up. I can download it.
Oh, yeah.
See you on.
Yeah, the Disney Plus thing like that, that's not even any because I'm a huge Star Wars Marvel, like just those two things alone would have had me pay for the membership. So I'm definitely in there. One thing that I want to, so something that kind of caught you off guard, but I'm going to answer this one first. Like Shang-Chi, I know that it's been rumored. I don't know much about the character. This is one of the rare characters. I don't think I've ever read a Shang-Chi comic book ever. But what they did announce is that the actual Mandarin is going to be in this, which for everyone who had problems with Iron Man 3, and I still think that before we knew the twist, it was the perfect Mandarin. Like he was perfect, menacing and everything. But to get the real Mandarin now, I'm really excited for this. I'm excited to see how like they're going to kind of pay that off from the disappointment of Iron Man 3. But what do you think about Shang-Chi and the Mandarin? And a question that I'm going to throw to you. Do you think that this should have been an Iron Fist movie instead of Shang-Chi? If there wasn't a show, do you think this would have been Iron Fist?
It probably would have been Iron Fist, but I think the whackness of the show they definitely killed that idea. But when they said that we're getting the real Mandarin, I was like, oh yes, I am so ready. So that was one thing that was definitely a surprise, because a lot of the stuff we had already got hinted at, we already had some kind of inclination that was going to come about. But that one was brand spanking new news for me, and I was excited. So we got some good stuff in the coming years.
And what Marvel's, like, what they've earned, and like the comic book fans being huge, but also people who aren't huge fans of comic books, they're able to experiment like more than DC, really more than any other studio with some of the characters, like the Eternals. I guarantee you the Eternals is probably going to be a huge movie, but it's just kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. The mainstream doesn't know anything about the Eternals. Them doing an Eternals movie, and with that cast, like, first of all, you got Salma Hayek and Angelina Jolie in the film. Regardless of who else you casted, you were going to get some attention right there from that alone.
And they're not even the ones I'm excited about. I'm excited about Jeffrey Wright, because I think any role he's ever did, he's just knocked it out of the park. And he's so versatile, and you kind of forget that you're looking at Jeffrey Wright, but he's totally immersed in the characters that he plays. So that's what was really exciting about it for me. When I heard, when I heard Angelina Jolie, I was like, okay, whatever. Because for me, we never really see those A-list actors like Angelina Jolie cast in these type of any of the MCU movies, really. It's usually someone who's, a little bit famous, we know who they are, or someone who's trying to make a comeback, like Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man, but never someone who's a full-on A-list superstar like Angelina Jolie. So when I heard of her casting, I kind of wasn't excited about it. I was like, oh, this is another play for money. But with the rest of the cast that is on there, Tyree Henry?
Yeah, it's Henry.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Paperboy. Oh, okay. This might be interesting. But then when they said Jeffrey Wright, then I was like, okay, I'm totally invested now. I'm going to be seeing this movie. I was going to see it anyways, regardless. You already know that. But now I have a reason to go see it with Jeffrey Wright, because he's going to kill it, period.
And Jeffrey Wright's also like voicing the Watcher in that What If animated series, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so... That and that's something too. I know it's animated, but the fact that they're taking like MCU, like it's all they're getting people from the MCU to do the voice acting. I'm still really in. There's nothing on here that I'm not really excited for. Honestly, the thing that if I had to pick something I wasn't as excited for is the Loki thing. I love Hiddleston as Loki, but the fact that they're like using it as the alternate reality version of Loki from Endgame, it's like. I don't know if I'm going to be as invested in that one until I see a trailer, and then I'm probably going to be fucking hyped for it. So, you know.
I feel like that's one that I'm excited for because I love Loki. I love Tom Hiddleston, and he, Loki kind of put him on the map, but if you've watched some of his other stuff, he's an amazing actor as well. He kind of kills every role that he's been in. So I know Loki's going to be good. I mean, they're not going to set us up for anything disappointing. And I'm happy because when I first heard that they were going to do some spinoff shows, I'm thinking, okay, that's the Netflix situation. And I was not excited about that. But when they said they're doing Disney Plus and it's going to be a branch off from the MCU, it's still going to be all part of the same universe. I said, okay, this is going to be good. So I know they're not going to disappoint us.
Even like my least favorite MCU movie still far ahead and above most films that I see. So like,
what's your least favorite?
Thor: The Dark World.
Oh, that's everybody.
Yeah, I mean it really like, and the thing is that because I went back and did a rewatch like before Infinity War, and I'm just watching it and I'm like, really, this is like the only, if it wasn't for the ether being in there. It's like the only one that I think you can take out of the MCU and it not really affect anything.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, it just, you know, and we'll get into that because that film is like what really made me not care if Natalie Portman wasn't in anything. But then they announced some stuff here and it's like, we'll talk about that because I may go on a rant there. So I want to kind of save that one. I want to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Which I feel like this should be titled Captain America and the Winter Soldier because we know Falcon is now Captain America. Anthony Mackie said that he's even tried on his Captain America costume and it looks great, which I can't wait for this show. But what do you think about this one? Are you excited for this one?
Not at all.
What?
I think I've expressed to you before how I feel about it's not the fact that Falcon is becoming Captain America because we already knew that's already happened in the comics. I already knew that was going to happen. But ever since I heard that Anthony Mackie was cast as the Falcon, I was disappointed because I knew that he was going to become Captain America. Yeah. And I do not like Anthony Mackie as Captain America. I just don't like it. I'm so upset. And I was really hoping they were going to go the Bucky route with the movie, yeah. But they did not with Falcon. I'm like, okay. So I'm not excited about it at all.
So is it Anthony Mackie, his performance as Falcon, you just don't, or just you don't like him as an actor?
I like him and other stuff. Okay. I do not like him as an action hero. And it's because he didn't do anything to particularly stand out in that role.
Okay.
You know, I know he started out as a side character, but you can shine as a side character. You can, you know, he kind of just stayed in that side character role. There was nothing fantastic about his performance. There was nothing, for me as a fan watching, there was nothing that made him the person to pick to pass the mantle to. You know, I'm like, there was Falcon and nothing. Like, he really didn't do anything outstanding to me. So I'm just like, ugh, that was not the route.
You know,
so
I enjoy Anthony Mackie. You make a good point, because like really the standout thing that Anthony Mackie's done in the MCU was the fight with Ant-Man.
And I don't even remember that. That tells you that wasn't that great. Oh, he just doesn't do it for me. I feel like, because originally Michael B. Jordan went out for Falcon. I think he would have did a much better job. But then he wouldn't have had his ass, you know, Killmonger. So
then we probably would have had Anthony Mackie as Killmonger. And then imagine how that would have been.
Failure of a movie. I just really didn't like him as Falcon. And I mean, there's really nothing that he did to stand out or make that role shine like he should have, which was kind of an argument I had with someone else a long time ago, where we were talking when Black Panther was getting ready to come out. And I'm like, you know, this is our first Black superhero. We haven't had any Black superheroes. And someone jumped in and they're like, well, what about Falcon? He's been in the movie the whole time. He ain't it. He ain't it. And I say that having a Falcon.
I think too that I'm excited for this one too because of Bucky. And the thing, I kind of have the problem that you have with Anthony Mackie with Bucky. I think that Winter Soldier and Civil War, but really Civil War was like 3 years ago at this point. He really hasn't got a chance to do anything. And I think Sebastian Stan is a great actor. I'm glad to see like him hopefully get more of a prominent role, but I really would like to see, I was hoping that he was going to get the Captain America mantle just because I think he, if and this is a TV show, but if they were to make another Captain America film with either Anthony Mackie or Sebastian Stan, I'd rather see Sebastian Stan in that role, personally. Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for from the beginning of time. But like you said, I mean, Winter Soldier was awesome. Civil War was awesome. And they built up his character so that I thought he was going to have a more prominent role or do something more than what he did in the Infinity War and Endgame, and where they kind of placed him as just a little side piece character like they had been doing Falcon. So they really should have did more with his character, I felt. But it is what it is, you know. They can't satisfy us all. But we shall see. I'm not excited for Falcon and Winter Soldier, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
And that's the thing at this point, Marvel, we're going to watch it. Like, that's you know, and I hope, and the thing is, as long as Feige's in charge, I have no doubt that the qualities are going to stay, because he's such a fan of these characters in the comics and he wants to pay respect. The moment that he like steps down and they get like some normal exec that just worries about the bottom line and making money, that's when I'm going to start worrying about the MCU. But as long as Feige's at the head, I'm not going to worry about it at all until he fails me. But okay, so because I know we're probably both going to go on a mini rant with Thor, so I'm trying to save that off for the last. WandaVision, we talked about Wanda before and her being in the Doctor Strange and how this is supposed to play directly into that. This is one of the ones that I'm really intrigued for the story more than anything, because Vision died and they didn't even like give any hints to Vision coming back in Endgame like I thought that they would. I know that in Infinity War, Shuri was like seconds away from being able to move his consciousness over before Thanos got to him. So we don't know if enough of that was saved. But how do you think Vision comes back into this story? And are we going to get any type of No More Mutants type thing in here where she wills him back into existence like she kind of did with some stuff in the comic books?
Okay, so two things. They kind of changed her origin story a little bit, so technically she's not a mutant because they could use that in MCU before they acquired Disney and all that good stuff. So I don't know if that's going to play into it, but from what I've read, it's going to be, you know, Scarlet Witch dealing with her feelings after losing Vision. So I don't know if she's going to maybe partner up with someone to kind of recreate him. Hopefully there was some little bit that we missed, like you said, when Shuri was, you know, so close to moving his consciousness over. Hopefully we'll see something like that. I would really like to see Vision come back. I was hoping that would happen, but I didn't know how they were going to make that happen. But it also could lead a little bit into the Loki series, because Loki is in a different, you know, multiverse. Loki died before the snap. He came back So I'm envisioning that in his world, in his universe, Vision is still around somewhere, and we can somehow pull him into where Wanda's at. Let's make it happen. I don't know. I'm interested to see how that goes. Like, I'm interested in the storyline on that one. Scarlet Witch is not one of my, I don't dislike her character, but she's not like one of my favorite characters, you know.
So I think we need more time with her.
I'm sorry?
I think we need more time with her. Yeah, she's not one of my favorites either. There's a lot of potential left there, but I just think, you know, after, of course, the second Avengers movie, her and Pietro were in it a lot, and then Civil War, she was in it. They fleshed out her Vision, but really we haven't got a lot of time with her since she's like become a good guy and developed her powers. And I would like to really see that. And kind of my theory on this is, like, we know this feeds into Doctor Strange and the multiverse. I think by the end of that movie, by the end of Doctor Strange, we not only get Quicksilver back, but Vision back. Maybe they pull Quicksilver in for one of the multiverses, because now that the X-Men are there and Magneto hopefully comes, like they have a lot that they could do. Maybe we find out that they were mutants and they just somehow awoken their mutant gene or whatever. But I think they have to bring Quicksilver back in a way, and I think that it's going to happen in the Doctor Strange movie. At least I'm hoping so.
Yeah. I would love to happen. I'm excited. And you brought back X-Men again, so I'm excited for that as well. I'm really eager to see the casting on that. I really hope that they don't try to do Dark Phoenix again.
easily, they have to wait 10 years before they try to do the Dark Phoenix story again.
I think they just need to leave that alone, because it was a good a little run in the comic, but when each time they've tried to bring the Dark Phoenix story onto the big screen, it has just been a hot ass mess. Yeah. They don't really write to begin with. I'm just not into it. I hope they pick another story segue into X-Men.
When they do X-Men again, would you rather see the X-Men as teenagers or as adults?
I would like to see them as adults. I mean, I grew up with them as adults. Yeah. You know, the big X-Men, they were grown. The only teens that we had were Jubilee and I can't even think of other people. I want grown adult X-Men.
Me too. I would like to see kind of how like the 90s cartoon kind of just jumped us into that world. I want to see that, like something like that. I don't want this whole, like, the exact opposite they did with Spider-Man, how they wanted Spider-Man to stay in high school and stuff. Let's do the exact opposite of that with, and I loved it for Spider-Man. Before X-Men, I'd kind of rather jump into that first movie. They're already a team. They've been a team for a while, and introduce us to them kind of in the middle of already living instead of doing a whole origin all over again.
Yeah, same thing with Fantastic Four. We don't need the origin story. We know how they got their powers. We know all of that. Let's just jump into the team. It's fully fleshed out. We know who they are. We know what they're doing. Let's go fight some enemies. I don't want to do another origin story. And I think that was one of the good things that they did with Spider-Man. We didn't have to go through the origin story with him again. He was already Spider-Man. We know how he got there. We know the whole Uncle Ben story. Let's just jump into it. So I think that's going to be good for them to do with X-Men and with Fantastic Four.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about this Thor Love and Thunder. So while I'm excited Taika Waititi's coming back because he got the character right, I'm excited Chris Hemsworth, excited Tessa Thompson. I don't mind Natalie Portman coming back. But Natalie Portman's coming back, and at some point in this movie, she's going to become the female version of Thor. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my issue. Natalie Portman in these Thor movies has been one of the most wooden actresses in all of the MCU. There's nothing about her. Like, her character's supposed to be like this world-renowned, physicist or whatever, and she just comes off as like this goofy high school girl, and she's just retarded. And if they bring Darcy back too, I'm really going to be pissed off. Like, I don't want to see Darcy, her assistant, back either. But they're going this route of making her Thor. And, you know, me and you've kind of talked about it. I said that I hope, like, maybe she just becomes Thor for a scene to help at the end of the movie. That's okay. But they're really selling this thing. And I'm just worried that Hemsworth is going to be minimalized even further. I hope he's not Fat Thor anymore. And I swear, if the 90% of this movie is Natalie Portman flying around kicking ass, I'm going to have some serious issues with this. She doesn't even have, like, the physicality to play a God of Thunder. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I really think it's going to be a quick 5-minute scene where some strange magic happens and she becomes female Thor, just to give a nod to the comic book. And then we move on from that. So that's what that, I mean, that's what I'm hoping. Fingers crossed, knock on wood, because I can't do a whole movie of Natalie Portman as Thor. I'm not a fan of the comic. It just was not my thing. I was like, who, why do we need this? Yeah. Why do we need female Thor? There's other Asgardians that you could make a comic book about that are female characters, if that's what you want to do. We don't need a female Thor. My thing is the whole, that I have an issue with, is the whole love portion of it. The storyline is supposed to be the fact that they're trying to find a queen for Valkyrie now that she's the new king of Asgard. So I'm like, strange. I don't like any movies that are supposed to be, you know, superhero action where the focus is on a romantic relationship. Like, we ain't got time for that.
Where is Sif? Like, why are we bringing Natalie Portman back? Why can't we bring Sif back? And I know some people are going to hear this and try to think, like, well, he has a problem with a female playing. I don't at all. Like, Valkyrie becoming Thor, I'm cool with. Sif becoming Thor, I'm cool with. Freaking Jessica Jones becoming Thor, I'm cool with. It's just Natalie Portman. I don't want to see it at all. Like, and
I feel about Natalie Portman how I feel about Anthony Mackie.
Exactly. Like, it just reminds me, like, that scene in Venom where we got female Venom, I'm hoping that that's really all this equals to.
Right.
I'm hoping it's something like that. Like, she just, like, somehow Thor gets his power drained. She comes flying in, and we're like, who's kicking all this butt? It's her. She gives the power right back up. Like, let's just get a good scene in.
Quick and simple. That's all I need in my life. Just a nice little nod to the comic book, a nice little fanfare. Be like, oh, that was an enjoyable scene. Now, Thor, take your hammer back and get to business.
And then the love, like, love being in the title. I'm just like,
yeah, that instantly turned me. I was like, what is this? I don't
like, you know what? Who's the goddess of love in the Greek mythology? Maybe that's what it is. Is there a goddess of love? Oh, Aphrodite. Yeah. So yes. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe Aphrodite pops up. Let's hope.
Okay, maybe.
I'm really being hopeful.
Really all love and beauty like they play her up to be. Maybe she's totally evil. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see. But I'm not for the romance. I'm not for female Thor. Oh, I'm not for Natalie Portman Thor.
Yeah, that's all it is.
The Sith movie, I'd be all for it. Like, yeah. I could sit through an hour and a half, 2 hours of that, because Sith kicks ass. Natalie Portman, no. Just no. It's not gonna work.
I can't wait to see. I'm interested in, like, how this is all gonna play out, to see, like, and who knows, most of my problems may go away seeing the first trailer. I don't know, but it's just, as of right now, with everything that's kind of come out from it, it's just, I love Chris Hemsworth, the Thor. I really do. I loved Ragnarok. I think they finally got him right in Ragnarok. Infinity War, he was great in Infinity War. I love that he finally got powered up. I wasn't as happy what they did with him in Endgame, that they used him strictly for comedy, but we'll see. I'm just really interested to see what they do here. But there were some movies that were announced but don't have official dates. So they did announce Captain Marvel 2 is going to happen. Black Panther 2 is going to happen. And he mentioned X-Men Fantastic Four. What I'm surprised about is that we're not going back to Wakanda until at earliest 2022. Because this took us to the Phase 4 takes us to the end of 2021. I'm just surprised that they waited. They're going to wait that long to have something set in Wakanda. Like, even if they didn't want to do Black Panther, if kind of Chadwick's schedule didn't work out, I was kind of expecting us to have one of these Disney Plus shows to be set in Wakanda, like maybe a Shuri show. Like, I'm surprised that we didn't get that.
Yeah. I really thought we were going to get a Shuri show too. Maybe even a Shuri cartoon or something. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see what they have played out for us. I was really hoping that after after Endgame, after Spider-Man Far From Home, that we were going to jump back into Black Panther.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. So 2022, that's far out. But my thinking is this. It's far out because they want to perfect it and get it right. So I'd rather them take their time and not rush it, and it'd be a bunch of crap. Especially if now that they've announced the whole Fantastic Four piece, and like me and you both said, we're hoping that's going to be kind of the segue into that with Black Panther. So hopefully that's what'll happen, and that's why they're just taking their time with it. I would be really disappointed if they made us wait all this time and then it wasn't up to snuff. So we shall see.
Yeah, and this is the first phase with no Avengers movie at all. No new Avengers, no nothing in Phase 4, which I'm kind of more excited about, because it's like, all right, so what's going to be the overarching thing? Because you know they're going to have to introduce a villain that's kind of going to be overarching over the next couple of phases. Black Panther 2, of course I'm excited about. That goes without saying. I'm interested to see, coming off the backlash of Captain Marvel, coming off her not being much in Endgame as people expected that she was going to be, what they do with this character, because they've really made her overpowered, in my opinion, to where it's like what she has to like fight Galactus or Silver Surfer in the next one. Like, because at this point, like, see, they've made her so powerful that like just a normal villain isn't going to do anything for her. But I mean, come on now, Blade, a Fantastic Four, gotta be the one I'm most excited for. Completely.
Yeah, most definitely. I wasn't excited for Captain Marvel to begin with. I'm not giving her any excitement for Captain Marvel 2. I was really, I don't say disappointed, but it was like, again, back to my fact of what was the point of even introducing Captain Marvel when she really didn't do anything in Endgame. I mean, she was at the beginning for 5 minutes, and then she showed up at the last second to just basically be a 2-second distraction. That was it. You know, they built her up as the big dad who was going to really take down Thanos, and she did nothing. I mean, a waste of a character altogether. So I don't know. I'm not excited Captain Marvel whatsoever. But I do want to see how that's going to play into the end credit scenes for Spider-Man Far From Home, when we saw that, you know,
Talos
Nick's basically been vacationing up in outer space somewhere. Like, okay, how long have you been up there?
Yeah.
Have you been fake Nick Fury all this time in all these other movies, or what's going on? I need to see what that leads to, and that's possibly going to be the answer that we get in Captain Marvel 2. So that's the only thing that I'm looking forward to, is finding that out. So
no Nova. I was expecting Nova. No Nova. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, like,
we were supposed to get a Nova Corps movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they led us to believe.
I think Nova, though, like I'm waiting to see these Disney Plus shows and like the production quality of it. I know, like, we got a trailer for the Star Wars show. I can't remember the name of it now, but and it looked like it really does look like a movie. I wouldn't mind Nova Corps being a TV show. Like, that would be a perfect Disney Plus show, because you can kind of have your episodes and a bunch of seasons of us just spending with Nova. If they are willing to put the money into keeping that show the quality where it would need to be, that would probably be an interesting show. So maybe they go that route with it. So is there anything that wasn't announced that you were kind of hoping to be announced on this Comic-Con?
Not necessarily that it wasn't announced. Well, I was hoping that we would have a movie announcement for either X-Men or Fantastic Four.
Yeah, like a date.
A date. It's been cast. We're ready to go into production. All of that good stuff. That didn't happen. So that was a little disappointing. But at least we know it's on the way. There's no more rumor of it happening. They basically let us know it is coming. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, no. There's nothing that I was disappointed in. Nothing that I was hoping for that I didn't get. I think because there was stuff that I wasn't aware of that they announced that kind of took over everything else. So the whole Mint thing really piqued my interest to the fullest, though. And Blade, So I was happy.
The Blade made it all worth it. Like, let's just be honest. Right. Like, if they would have came out and announced like Black Widow, the Eternals, Doctor Strange, and then waited and announced Blade with nothing else, it would have still made all this worth it. We just got everything else is just like extra cherries on top. Man, is there anything left that you kind of want to talk about that we haven't touched on? No, we didn't talk much about Black Widow, because my excitement for that is kind of because we know where the story ends. And with prequels, I'm always kind of one of those things where it's like, I know it's going to be good, but I don't get as up about it. I'm glad Taskmaster is going to be in it, but it's like this should have came out before. Like this,
I'm really, really hoping that we get less action hero-y stuff with Black Widow and more of the espionage part.
Yeah,
I really envision Black Widow being like Red Sparrow. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
I really want to see Black Widow should have happened last phase instead of Captain Marvel. Like, it would have just made more sense there. But I digress.
Yeah, that's where I thought we were going with it. I thought we were going to be Black Widow, and then they announced Captain Marvel. I was like, nobody wants Captain Marvel. Who's asking for this? But yeah, we shall see. I'm really hoping they play up the espionage part of it. So I'm excited for that little bit of it.
Okay. Well, that's it. I don't have anything. Oh, I do have a question for you. What's your favorite storyline going on in the comics right now?
I'll be honest. I have not actually read any of the latest comics. It's been probably a year. I've been trying to keep up with the movies. What's going on? But I have nothing. I don't even know what's going on currently in the storyline of the comics. But I know we got some new X-Men mutant comics coming out, and I'm gonna be right on top of those. Exactly. So
yeah, now that Marvel owns everything, the thing that I will say, rather than talk about specifics, I think Marvel Comics now, they're starting to integrate or kind of make it mirror the movies a little too much. And it's like, I like those two worlds being different, and I get it. MCU's huge, but I kind of like being able to watch the movie and it be completely different from what I was reading in the comics. And that's a little bothersome for me, but I know most people don't care about that. That's just a me thing.
Yeah. I don't like to know what to expect. So yeah. I like that they differ a little bit. I like that they kind of mash up some of the characters to make it something new. And if you are a comic book reader, then you know the nod that they're trying to give, you know, versus people who are just casual viewers and whatnot. But I like that. I don't want it to be the comic books are now taking their lead from the movies. Yeah. I like them to stick to their own thing, so it's still new entertainment.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, ma'am, that's it. We're done. I'm gonna let you go. Tell the people where they can follow you and talk to you about anything geeky and all that good stuff.
Anything geeky, you can find me on IG at Tommy Dearest. That's TOMMIEDEAREST. Geek extraordinaire. I take it all. Harry Potter, Star Wars, MCU, you name it. Come talk to me about it.
Fair enough. Well, you guys know where you can follow me. This has been another episode of The Awakened Soul. We are out. Peace.
If a dope lyrical flow is a must, you got to go with the name you can quickly trust. I'm not saying I'm number one, I'm sorry I lied.